Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to It's Your Funeral, the podcast where we interview guests about the most important day of their afterlives. As ever, I'm here with my co-host, the Death Devil from the North. It's Sam Hammond, aka At Von Cruz. These intros I'm doing for you are getting more and more Alan Partridge as I go along.
I'm into it. It's good.
We just recorded an episode, so I'm asking how you are, but you're the same as you were a minute ago.
No, I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but there's a global pandemic going on and AIDS is flying around outside in the sky. So, you know, I'm feeling a bit panicked.
Air AIDS could be the death of any one of us. We want to hear from you guys at home about any weird funeral or death related stories, if you have them, if they're funny. If they're great, then we will, of course, read them out on this very podcast. So please, if you've got anything, send it to podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. That's podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. But our guest today is actor, writer, and my flatmate, Ed Coleman. Ed, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. All the more for being the third in that list of definitions of my existence.
That's exactly right. It's end of one lockdown, feels like it's going to be the beginning of another.
Yeah.
How have you been? How are you? How are you coping with this very strange time? It's a morbid time. It's a morbid podcast.
Yeah. The beginning of it was all a bit, you know, no one knew. I didn't know what to make of it.
Euphoric.
And then I got really into it. There was just nothing to do. And like sometimes, particularly when, you know, you're an actor or you do things creative which are outside of your control and you have nothing to do, and that's all that time is imbued with sort of anxiety, the anxiety and stress of that, you know, of finding what the next thing is you're going to do. And it was, so this was kind of like, I can now be useful. So I just, I sort of spent a load of time reading a load of books.
Yeah.
Started doing like yoga, started meditating. It was awful. I was basically an absolute
bastard.
I was a quarantine twat. I was the worst.
I just got drunk and sort of like cried.
Yeah. I gave up drinking for 4 months. Went on a real sort of deep dive. I was like, I found this kind of really great sort of, zen, sort of semi-spirituality. And I thought, oh, great, I've cracked life. And then I had one bump in the road in my life and it all fell apart immediately. So it was an absolute waste of time. None of it stuck. all that work.
Glad to hear I didn't waste my lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. I should have just drunk my way through it. Because I won, like, the first thing that came up when things started to sort of unthaw and a job like fell through, and immediately I just fell into a sort of babbling puddle of self-pity. So,
I'm sorry, mate.
Yeah, my advice, don't try and improve yourself. It's a waste of time.
But if we try and find positives from that babbling self-pity, you having like found that 4 months of difference in your life and spirituality, or whatever, that's probably put off your death by a number of years, I would have thought.
It would have done, other than I'd given up smoking, but I was reading a lot and I was drinking a lot of coffee.
How much?
I was having about 8 cups of coffee.
Mate, that's not good.
Is it not? Felt good. Felt great. Yeah, absolutely loved it. What are you talking about? It's great. I've got a coffee now.
That really reminds me of, I did a job back in like 2004 where I worked with Paul Gascoigne for a couple of days, and he was like on one of his early trying to give up alcohol. And he was in the studio for the day and he must have had, and I'm not exaggerating, 25 Red Bulls.
Oh, right. Christ.
25 Red Bulls. He was just over and over drinking Red Bull.
I used to have a girlfriend years ago who worked for Red Bull. So the house we were sharing at the time, we had like boxes and boxes of it just everywhere. And like a bunch of my mates, I was quite a young guy at this time, but a bunch of my mates came over and we decided to like I think it was just because we couldn't afford drugs. But we were like, let's see how many we can drink and what it does. So we think
with or without vodka.
Well, I think we were boozing as well, but we were just drinking these as like a sort of a little game to see how what it would do. About 17 hours later, we were still awake, just arguing, like bickering, you know, really.
Your heart palpitations must have been off the scale.
I think we were really young, so I was probably like 21. So yeah, maybe it hadn't sort of got me then.
That's eight coffees there, Ed.
Yeah. Have you ever had, have you been to America?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever had Four Loko?
No, I think it's been banned now. I've heard of it.
So it comes in these. I was in New York once, and I was just quite thirsty, and I was going to meet some friends, and they weren't going to be there for a couple of hours. And I went into one of those kind of little sort of newsagent-y things, and basically, Four Loko is a sort of alcoholic, like a really alcoholic-y drink. It's got grain alcohol or something in it, but it's kind of fruit flavored, like lots of artificial flavorings. But I didn't know what it was, but it came in those big sort of colorful cans, you know, that they do all the kind of like fruit tea and stuff. Like everything in America is big, isn't it?
Huge, soft drinks are big.
And it was like amongst, or at least tangential to them, to the point it looked like disgusting soft fruit drink. And I was like, all right, this would be horrible but refreshing. This is what I need. So I bought two. And it was like quite hot. So I just sort of drunk one, opened it up, basically just downed it.
Yeah.
And it was disgusting, but it particularly feel like it was alcoholic. Oh god. And then about 20 minutes later I was stumbling like all over the place over the Lower East Side. Got in a conversation with a hobo quite a bit. He was like, hey man, you got a dollar? And I was like, yes, I've got lots of them, look. Look at this, it doesn't mean anything to me. I gave him like $30 and he was like, yeah, you're all right man. And we became friends for a bit, and then I had to do a wee, and I was outside, I couldn't find anywhere to do a wee, and I sort of went behind some bins.
Yeah.
And then I got stopped by two like beat policemen.
Who
basically gave me a right telling off, and I sort of did a sort of drunk bumbling. I'm sorry. I didn't even realize I was drunk.
Did you say like I've drunk this fruit drink?
Yeah, like, this fruit drink is very eventually they sort of let me off, but then because I was pissing on the ground, and as they walked away, one of them just turned back and was like, you don't piss on America, bro.
Oh god. See, I just did.
That's again, the most American thing ever. Oh god, that is like so obvious.
Like the dirty rat infested sort of kind of that corner of
it's
like
such
the
a shithole there as well.
Oh, it's great. No, it's cool parts out, but I mean the actual ground was disgusting. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, Ed, you could quite easily have found yourself getting shot and therefore killed in that situation, which brings me nicely on to.
No, he couldn't because he's white.
Yeah.
Well, there is that. Which brings me nicely on to, Ed, we like to ask all of our guests, what is your funeral experience?
You know, I've been to relatively few funerals. Mm-hmm. I've got a very small family. Thankfully, nobody I know.
No friends have died.
No friends have died.
That's good.
Yeah, thankfully.
Good for me.
I do remember my friend at school's mum died when we were still at school, and we all went to kind of support her. And that was kind of... but that was quite... she was a kind of very cool woman who like lived in Glastonbury and had like a shop full of crystals and the kind of the people. So it was kind of a magical kind of celebratory sort of thing.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, she had this really amazing eccentric house sort of near Glastonbury.
So is everyone from Glastonbury... kind of
into crystals?
I don't think it's that they're from there. I think it's that they go there. Yeah. I actually stopped off that on the way back from visiting my mum a couple of weeks ago. Stopped off in Glastonbury.
Did you feel magical? Did you take loads of drugs?
It was no. I just put a potter around the town centre. No Pret. Couldn't find a Pret.
I'm not going there then.
Well, actually, every shop is like one of those. I was like, wow. I was like, how do these? They all seem to be. A couple of them seem to be like have got out of business.
I imagine there being a really lovely kind of delicatessen that'll do you a great lunch sandwich there.
Oh, no. There was an organic supermarket that did a kind of... but you know, there's kind of like pre-made things that you get like in organic supermarkets. I think I had a sort of slice... I could only get a slice of frittata.
Oh, that's...
Do you know controversially non-compostable packaging by the looks of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cancel them. Do you know Nicolas Cage lives in Glastonbury?
Yes.
Or he doesn't. He might not anymore, but he did.
It's like somewhere between like there and Wells, right? Because he...
yeah, it's around the corner somewhere.
He turned up at New Year's in a pub in Wells.
He must... Yeah. surely what you mean is he has a home there.
Yeah, he has a home.
He spent a lot of time there. I saw he bought like a castle just outside of Glastonbury.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if he still owns it. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, such a strange guy, isn't he?
Huh. Ed, this is called It's Your Funeral. Yeah. I have to ask, have you in your life given much thought to your own funeral? Have you fantasized about it as I have?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit. I guess you have that kind of, every now and again you do that kind of like, oh, this one for the eulogy. Or more sort of...
a story that someone will tell in their eulogy.
And then I realised I was just on my own doing something absolutely shameful, so no one will ever know. So I was like, thankfully, no one's here to record that.
Such as? you can tell us after.
No, yeah. I've thought about it more in recent memory because my dad died, mm-hmm. and I had to write his eulogy and organise his funeral, which is a pretty torrid... Torrid affair. Yeah, my dad was an alcoholic and lived a very sad end to his life. I mean, he was brilliant. He was a brilliant man in his youth and just sort of lost his way. And he died sort of alone in sort of squalor in a bedsit in Yorkshire, which obviously processing the grief you have for even though semi-estranged sort of... father, that's just, you know, you're also faced with just the admin of it all.
Yeah.
And I mean, having to go through somebody's possessions is such an interesting, like, some of it was just my very dear friend Sarah came to help me because I'm an only child, there's no one else to do it, and it's just, he was just dead in this rented, like, his body had been taken out, he'd been dead for a week before anyone found it, and it was just pretty grim. And my amazing friend Sarah came to sort of clear out the flat because we had to, like, you know, had to be gone because they had to go back to this one of his. He was massively in debt.
Right.
So you just had to go through things and just like the banana. It's so weird doing that kind of, you know, you imagine how embarrassed you were when you were young, the idea of your parents like going through your stuff and what they might find in there. Mm. And it was so weird to do that like in reverse, but to a whole life that had been sort of eventually whittled down into this kind of sad two-room block of possessions.
Yeah.
But even amongst that, there was this strange kind of like universal humanity of like what you find in there. Like I found porn, like but like old school, like magazines, like and that
Reader's Wives,
like Razzle. Magazines, like in a cupboard, like old things, and
dad porn.
I was like, that's horrible. And then I was like, is it horrible? No, it's just like it's human. But then that led to this amazing situation whereby. I was a real stickler for like, right, we've got to get rid of everything in this house. But I was like, but got to that's paper recycling. Sarah was like, just...
Living
like,
with Ed, like, I can tell you he is like this.
She was like, no, fuck it, darling, just chuck it all in a fucking bin bag. And I was like, no, it's paper, got to go. So basically I would fill up a bin bag, like, just with porn. There's a point where
He sounds like quite the purveyor of porn.
There were certainly two trips with other magazines, with other kind of pointless magazines, but a lot of it was porn. Yeah. But then, so I had to go fill up, but stuffed a bin bag full of paper porn, put it in the boot of my car, then drove to the nearest recycling
place.
Back to London. drove to Morrison's, which is the nearest supermarket that had like a recycling bag in it, and then just like hauled this bin bag across. But it was like sort of, I hadn't really accounted for time. It was like school tipping out time. So loads of like mums, like there were loads of sort of mums.
One out to each of the kids.
They were sort of like mums with kids doing, you know, their little bottle bank recycling stuff. And I was just there loitering by the paper bit, being like, at what point do I stuff these hands and hands of it in? Or I was like, oh, should I leave some of it somewhere to pay it forward? But like, that's not a thing anymore.
Do you remember, like, I don't know if, when I was a little kid, and I guess it was like pre-internet, but I grew up like on the edge of like a big forest, and me and my mates were quite lucky that because it was safe where we grew up, we could just play out in there all the time and do whatever we wanted, and like from a very young age. But there was always like hidden behind a rock, you'd always find a porn mag.
Yeah.
People's dads were obviously taking the dog out for a walk, but going for a wank in the woods. You know what I mean?
Is that what you meant by paying it forward?
Yeah, I was going to leave it somewhere.
Because I could have done that.
I had a similar thing like I grew up in the country, and for some one time I was walking back. So there was like the hedgerow on either side, which is quite high. Yeah. And once I saw one of those, I was walking back and I saw one of those weird sort of like blue and white candy stripe newsagent bags. Yeah. But like right at the top, the top of the hedge.
Yeah, where you'd get your strawberry sherbets.
And I was, yeah. And I was like, so I think those magazines are there. I sort of like clambered up and got it. And it, sure enough, it's like a bag with like three porn mags in it.
Yeah, it was
and a
very common thing.
did they fall out of a helicopter? What's going on? Like, it's just like one of those riddles where like it's the guy, the parachute hasn't opened or the snowman hasn't opened. I was like, but it was quite innocent because you'd get, if you found those.
Yeah, it was a great day.
You'd then
day.
Like, it was the greatest day. The greatest day. Secondhand porn.
My mates used to find one like, you know, it's disgusting really, but it's just like a rotting like, old mag and they'll sit around it.
Yeah, but that was the thing. There was like a communality to it, right? You'd sort of like tell everyone, and like
it does feel like a very different time. Obviously, I was young then as well, but certainly at my school, the girls were steadfast. Of course, we don't masturbate. And now, now that like internet porn is everywhere, I feel like girls now. Yeah, of course we masturbate. Probably way more than you do.
The game's up. Everyone's a wanker.
Porn's everywhere. I just two things I find funny. One is that we've managed to go so quickly from such a emotive, well-articulated vision that Ed gave us about, you know, the admin of having to clear out his late father's flat, to then going into 15 minutes of porn-based material.
Yeah, sorry,
we found
about
that old men wanking in the woods in the 90s.
Yeah, all right.
We found that worryingly easy.
I don't know, but it did make me think. I definitely, you want to put your affairs in order. Don't hoard.
Right.
Because it's a real pain in the ass.
But I think one thing that's really, really fascinating that I've never really heard talked about is actually the admin of dealing with death. And I think it's only people who've had to deal with it who really think about it.
Yeah.
Or have to think about it. It's like, for me, you know, no, I've never had to deal with grief like in that way, Ed, and I feel very fortunate about that. But then when you talk about that, immediately I think, well, when my mum dies, she's got so much stuff. Mm, and yeah, it's going to be that. I mean, you know, it's not a competition, but you talked about being semi-estranged from your dad and him having less and less stuff over time, probably, or being a bit of a hoarder. But literally everything when it comes to the inevitable death of my mum will be like a memory thing. Yeah, you have to go through and try and block out the trauma of it, I guess.
Well, I guess it depends on the circumstances of a death. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be traumatic. I mean, you'll find that stuff, like,
I suppose if I've done it.
Yeah, I mean, if you've done it, then you'll want to be sort of that's basically just dealing with evidence, isn't it? I mean, you want to get down some plastic sheeting, get the bleach in there. But yeah, I mean,
the bleaching never works. I don't know why.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
they even think, once they cut up the body, in all of the true crime stuff, they all cut up the body, and yet they all the forensic people and find the body.
As Barnaby's flatmate, I can attest to the amount of true crime documentaries. He is absolutely, like, if anyone could get away with it, Barnaby, it should, in theory, be you.
What you should use instead of bleach, please write into the email address.
I've always thought...
Red Bull.
Bury them in motorway side forest.
Oh, right.
No one goes in those woods next to motorways. A long time ago, we talked about fantasizing about your own funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you given much thought to the actual vision of it? What kind of venue is it? What kind of thought have you given to the actual kind of funeral itself?
Definitely, like, not a church. But pretty much every funeral I've been to has been in a crematorium.
Yeah.
Which is
last one I went to.
I mean, it's fine, isn't it? But it's a bit... I guess you could sort of...
bland, I guess.
It's a bit bland. I mean, you can get sort of secular kind of... I mean, you don't even need... There's a lot of stuff they foist on you. Mm. Again, sorry to go back to... sorry to harp on about my... About my dead dad.
No,
but you really got to mine that vein of material for at least a couple of years.
Yeah, both of our dads are alive.
Yeah.
Fill the beans.
But you can as an option. Like there's a legal responsibility to dispose. You can't just like ditch a body, right? Mm. If the next of kin, you can't just leave it with the council. You know, once the body's with them.
Can you bury someone anywhere? Can you just like pop them in the garden if you want?
I don't. There's all sorts of weird things. There is a package, a really, really cold kind of thing. It's like if you really don't give a shit about this person, and it's still like 1,700 quid.
What?
And basically, what they'll do is they'll do is they say we'll take the body and we'll burn it when we get a minute. And that's literally that's the service. Like, so no one's allowed to be. There's no service. No one's allowed to be there. Body's taken to a crematorium. If they get a few minutes in between some other burnings, they'll chuck that body in, burn it, and then you'll get the ashes back at some point if you want them.
So, and they might not be yours. Your
absolutely no guarantee it's yours. And that's still...
Call me...
This is why people have to have... Like, this is why people like take out insurance and stuff for these kind of things.
Actually, do you know what? I was thinking the other day whilst watching TV, because I'm now of the age where they tailor the adverts to me. It's all funeral stuff. It's all funeral and Newman, the erectile dysfunction stuff, and hair loss. They're the only adverts I get put my way. But I was thinking while watching a lot of these funeral things, a good sponsor for this podcast would be one of those funeral services... people, so yeah, you know, we're open to those.
They've
possibilities.
Obviously got loads of money if they're taking 1,700 quid just to basically bin you.
So this is what I wanted to talk about. I'm assuming then that you have to be a licensed crematorium, because otherwise, Sam, why are we not starting a company where we'll bury your, we'll burn your body for 1,600 quid?
Oh, right, race to the bottom. I'd cut them.
I'd do it for 200 quid at the moment, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Just turn it into an app.
I'm sure it creates a terrible smell. But if we can find somewhere out of the city,
it'd be fine, won't it?
Don't undersell yourself, Sam.
Yeah,
I think let's do it for a clear grand.
Yeah.
Having said
easy
that,
funerals.
I mean, Ed, I feel like at this point we have to ask, which box did you tick on the funeral options for your dad?
I did get a few. I mean, I paid for a funeral.
You paid for a few
bells and whistles. I mean, it was a fairly sad... But just for me, really, more than anything else. I think the funerals are really about the people who are left behind. Yeah. And for me, like, it was an important thing to do just because I had things to process and some of that, you know, partially because of what I did, some of that process I needed to give us, you know, say some words out loud.
Yeah.
And that was sort of helpful.
And I should say, to interrupt again, but Ed wrote and performed in a brilliant play based on that exact scenario that you were faced with.
Yes. Well received and poorly attended, much like the funeral itself.
It's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, as in life, he gave earth and death. Thanks a lot.
When I went to see the play in London, it was well attended. But are you talking about when you took it to Edinburgh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's
over the course of days.
It wasn't that bad.
Lot of competition.
And also, it's a tough sell. It was pretty sad.
But it was really, really brilliant. But did it help you with closure and moving on and stuff like that? That part of it.
I think it helped me sort of have a greater degree of empathy, I think, for his weaknesses, which I've obviously harboured a you know, a lot of anger, I guess, about him basically behaving like he didn't really want to be a father. And, you know, whether that's, you know, if you feel like one of your parents who is supposed to love you unconditionally, if you don't feel that they actually really give a shit about you or love you, I mean, that's quite a hole,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To fill.
I'm always more worried about the people whose parents do both love them unconditionally, to be honest. They're so few and far between now. Mm. I think they're pretty... Those people with two loving parents who are present the whole time, I think they're really fucked
they're
up.
They're the edgelords now.
Yeah. I must say, yeah, both my parents are very, very loving and they've always been there. But yeah, that's why I'm such a wanker.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, part of that process, like, you know, I think he did love me. I just think he knew... How to show it, and you know how to sort of function in the world.
Addiction and stuff like that takes over. Like I've got it in my family as well. It can sort of stop people from behaving the way they want to behave. You know?
And it's such a. I think the double standards about alcoholism is that he wasn't an alcoholic in that kind of, you know, Soho bon vivant kind of raconteur kind of way. He drank himself into an early grave. Like, there was no fun in it. There was no joy. You know, it wasn't... I have no memories of him ever really, like, laughing. Or, you know, didn't... He wasn't sort of a hell, you know, a sort of living, hard hellraiser who, you know, succumbed to it. It was just sad, you know, spirits out of a mug, you know, giving up on life, you know. So, yeah, that's really sad.
The least sexy of the alcoholics, if anything.
Pretty much, yeah.
Not to belittle your very beautiful way of explaining this very dark situation.
Yeah.
Do you think then that looking, you know, having seen that from afar and then obviously close up after he died and dealing with his funeral and stuff, did that allow you to look at your own life and think, I'm going to make sure I don't make similar mistakes or make changes to my life? Or did it make you... feel like you were on the right path anyway?
I mean, I think that there were, you know, it took me a while to realize that at the time that I dealt with it actually really badly and didn't realize I was dealing with it badly for quite a while. I think it just opened a whole can of worms. But the process, what it did...
What flavor of bad? Drinking yourself? Or?
Yeah, I think actually, bizarrely, I sort of started almost like emulating some of his behaviors in like a weird almost sort of...
Yeah.
Almost like necromancy. Almost like sort of like kept him alive slightly by
loads of porn mags in the wardrobe.
No, I'm too much paper for me. You see, I'm still very eco conscious, so I had to do it. I just kept it online. The brilliant thing about the funeral, and it was again all for me. So it was kind of like he didn't really have, you know, I didn't know what he would have wanted, and because you know we never talked about it. He was very much in denial about you know, the inevitability. You know, he was kind of told that this would happen, and he just kept drinking anyway. So it's.
And presumably he left no will and no instructions.
No, there was no will, no instructions. I mean, it was all moot because of because of the debt that he was in
Right.
But what it did for me was that, so at the funeral, there was like about 12 people at his funeral and only 4 of them had ever met him.
Right.
And the rest were my friends who like rallied around sort of me in that time. And like I said, I've got no siblings, and I've got no cousins, so basically very, very small family. And I've always kind of sort of felt that, and I really felt for the first time, like, wow, I did, what am I talking about? I have a family, this is incredible. These people
that's great.
Are amazing. It was like the most beautiful sort of experience. And that's an amazing bit of parenting. So I guess to sort of, you know, it's amazing to think how people get to that stage, like of sort of isolation and sort of loneliness. He must have had friends at some point in his life. Yeah. And at what point do you, like, how do you push people away to the point where they wouldn't try and help you back?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, and it was so nice to see, like, a sea of faces, like, yeah, there'd be a support network if ever something as sad happened to me. I feel like I don't think they would let it happen to me. And that was like very, very reassuring and life affirming.
That's been such a great insight into obviously what's a terrible situation. And because of that beautiful insight, we're kind of running out of time. So I'm going to make you do quick fire answers to some of these questions.
Yeah.
Okay. So first thing that comes to your head, what music do you want when at your funeral, when your coffin is brought in or taken out?
I'm going to go for sort of film scores. I'd like
Ooh, nice
something by
Hans Zimmer.
Mate, I just watched the Hans Zimmer masterclass.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. Anything?
I mean, I should say at this point, my mum used to work with Hans Zimmer because he used to be a jingle guy. Right. He started as a jingle guy. Mm. And my mum, it's one of those things where she just calls him Hans.
Oh yeah.
she's friends with him on Facebook.
Oh, what?
Hilarious. Amazing. I mean, she also used to sing with Meatloaf and just calls him Meat.
Oh my
she's
god.
Got a picture of him on meat. A fridge, which is that, slightly worrying.
Is Meat his Christian name? Is that what he's done by
default? I assume so, yeah. Yeah.
I met a guy who worked for U2 and he said, well, he used to work for U2 and he said you have to call the Edge Mr. the Edge.
What? Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Mr. The Edge.
Mr. The Edge.
Okay, so film scores. Right, so if not Hans, who else?
Alan Silvestri, who did like the Back to the Future stuff. And
oh, brilliant.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, that film
you
does
need
not
a good
age.
Sound
that
system, is
yeah. Just so much, that music is like, just fills me with so much sort of happiness.
We want to quickly get on to the wake, which I think is very important. Ah. Where do you want your wake? What kind of after party is it, assuming it's an after party? And most importantly, what spread are you laying on?
Because it depends what age I die. Like,
well, that is a question we often ask.
Yeah.
When do you think you're going to die? How old do you think you'll be? How is it happening?
Yeah. I mean, if it's now... Or in the super future. So if it's something that I would know, I wouldn't want my friends to go to. It's different to like a sort of a generation below. They'll be they'll be into something weird. It'll be like on a holodeck or something. But
no, it won't.
But it not.
Don't.
Will it be on TikTok?
Don't you remember what everyone said would be happening? What Tomorrow's World said would be happening in 2020? We'd be in flying cars, etc. Although to be honest, Amazon are about to start using those. But anyway,
flying cars are rubbish. I've
drones.
Drones. Yeah. I'd maybe just drone in some pizzas.
Drone in some pizzas, nice. That's which good. Brand, obviously?
Well, some Dr. Oetker's.
He's a Nazi.
No!
Yeah, Dr. Oetker was a Nazi. They're Nazi pizzas. They're delicious, I remember of them. But yeah, they aren't.
Oh, hang on. So what, is he a doctor of...
Death. Dr. Death.
Dr. Death.
No, he, you know, those ovens after the war, he started cooking pizzas in them.
Well, but hang on. But he's like the opposite of ovens. He's like freezing. He's into like freezing stuff.
He
does the little bits on cakes.
But also, Mr. Sam, to be honest, all you telling me he was a Nazi made me think is that I want to eat more Dr. Oetker's. So.
Well, there you go. That's Barnaby Slater.
And that's why I only wear Hugo Boss as well, for the very same reasons. Free bar? You going to have a free bar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you take it out of what little is left of my estate.
You're going to leave enough behind in your estate free bar. Very important. What do you want written on your gravestone?
You know what? I was thinking about this. Because you don't get a gravestone if you're... I've always been thinking, you know, cremation's the best one. But I was on a holiday in the Isles of Scilly. Basically, I've got a new thing. This is going to sound really weird. I've started to go through when I go to sort of really beautiful, right places, finding like the local church and just having a little scour of the graveyard.
Yeah.
Which I first started doing because I was like, I'm trying to write something and I'm really crap at names. So I just thought I'd lift some, basically a bit like sort of a good old, like some electoral fraud from mid-century America. But like they're taking the names off... tombstones, and I was in the Isles of Scilly, which are the coast of Cornwall. So all of these tombstones were sort of amazing, and there were a lot of them were just like people who'd been lost at sea.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so and there was a famous shipwreck of the Scilly. Yeah, I mean, I've got them down, but there are some incredible names. If you have a good name, like your name, like Barnaby Stewart Slater.
Yeah.
That's a good name for a tombstone, isn't it? You want someone to come and, like, look, you know, in future times, someone to come and go, look at this name, Barnaby Stewart, like, and write it down on their iNotes, which is what I did to some various people in their graveyard. Like, if your name's like John Smith, it's not an interesting tombstone, but if you've got a long name, maybe you should be buried so you can have a kind of entertaining tombstone. I mean, you know, for a while, I've got a ridiculous name, like all my middle names.
I've forgotten, you're going to have to give it.
Yeah, Edward Thomas Lytton Vaughan. Coleman.
Ooh,
wow, no wonder you're an actor.
Yeah. And that's expensive because I got a chip, you know how much time
you're
going to have
lot of little font you're going
to
put.
I have to get an obelisk.
Yeah, I was in the Outer Hebrides once and I went in this graveyard and there was only a small graveyard, like a village one. It's really old and I counted like 7 Donald McDonald's.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get
so many of them.
You get like a history of like the local families as well. All the recurring surnames.
Huh.
But for a little sort of strap line, I think close but no cigar would be my tombstone.
I just wanted to say, you saying that Barnaby Stewart Slater is a great name for a gravestone. I'm not sure. I think you're right, but I'm not sure if that is more important than how difficult it was having that that name when I was a child.
Well,
and how much bullying I got for being Barnaby or Barney or whatever. So, you know, hey guys.
They can't.
There you go. Deal with that, Sam and Ed, you lucky bastards.
You can't bully a gravestone. Worst case scenario, you can desecrate one.
I'll probably write nonce scum on it or something, I would have thought. Ed, last question, yep. Very important. How do you want to be remembered?
As a better, but he's all right in person.
Isn't he? Wanker on the internet.
Well, I was going to say rather than online. Yeah,
yeah. Actually, I don't really have an online presence, so that should be quite easy to fulfil.
Okay. He's all right in person.
Yeah. Hang on. It's. Oh, I actually like him when I got to know him.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
That's very nice.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one. That's really good. Okay. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Ed. Is there anything? This is why I give an opportunity. Is there anything you want to plug? Where could people see you if they've never seen you on things or heard of your work before? You've done a lot of TV stuff. What could they see you on?
I mean, I don't know what's on iPlayer at the moment. Lost sitcoms, Steptoe and Son thing I started.
Steptoe and Son.
That was repeated. That was repeated really? During lockdown.
Yeah.
Which was,
oh, mate, I want to watch that.
I survived.
Yeah. IMDb.
Look at IMDb.
IMDb, Ed Coleman, and then go and watch all the stuff he's done. Very, very brilliant, talented man.
Thanks, mate.
Indeed. Guys, please do subscribe to It's Your Funeral. Drop us a comment and a rating. And please, once again, send any funny funeral or death-based stories to podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. Also, do follow @VomCruise, that's Sam's Instagram account, which is really hilarious and brilliant. And have a listen to my other podcast, Almost Famous. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll be back very soon with another one.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.